share for a few more minutes before we close. I was thinking of a passage as Jason was talking that we've probably mentioned many times, but it often comes to my mind in these situations where perhaps I am, can kind of see I'm struggling with unbelief. And that passage in Mark chapter 9 where the man has a son who's demon-possessed, and he comes to, first, it seems, to the disciples and asks the disciples to cast out the demon, and then Jesus comes into the picture and remember what he says. He says, if you can do anything, would you heal my son? Would you cast out this demon? And Jesus says to him, if you can believe, then I can do it. It is it's a matter of faith. But then you see the man's reaction, and which has always been an encouragement to me, because he just says, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief and help me with my unbelief. I would say that that's something that I have prayed many times, right, where I acknowledge, like, I can see, Lord, I'm struggling to have faith for something, and just be willing to humble myself and say, and acknowledge that and ask the Lord to forgive me for that. Because as Jason shared, like, unbelief becomes a root of sin. Unbelief in itself, I think, is sin, right? And so just to be willing to humble ourselves. So in line with that, I just wanted to share a little bit about something that God's been speaking to my heart. So staying with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the verse before Jason just read, 1 Corinthians 10:12. So Jason shared that promise, right, that no temptation has overtaken us, but such as is common to man, and God will provide a way of escape for us in the midst of the temptation. But before that, there's a warning, and it says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, therefore let him who thinks he stand take heed that he does not fall. And so one of the things very clearly that has been in my mind, and I think it ties into another root of sin, is pride. And that's something that I've been thinking about this week. There's so many verses that kind of come to this, but it says in Proverbs, there's a few verses that talk about what happens if we stumble, what often precedes a stumbling into sin. As Jason shared, it can be unbelief, right? But also it says pride goes before, depending on what translation you're using, pride goes before destruction, pride goes before a fall. It says, the one, Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. In Proverbs 18, verse 12, it says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, but humility goes before honor. Last weekend, we were away. Some of us were attempting to go skiing, and so I was walking towards the ski hill. Some of you know how this happened, but this is how this happened, I'll tell you. We're walking, and it, you know, there's there's a verse, a prudent man sees evil and hides himself, and the simple proceed and pay the penalty. You could literally have created a wonderful storytelling of this, because my brother left a few minutes before I did to go down and buy a lift ticket. We both took the exact same path, and in the middle of this path there was just an absolute sheet of ice, and it was a sloped path. So what I found out after was, if you had been videoing Joel, he would have gone down this path, he would have seen the ice and went around the ice. Then a simple man, I'm not going to tell you who the simple man, for the sake of his own pride. That's it. For the sake of this simple man's pride, we won't humble him publicly. But a simple man follows a few minutes later, sees the ice, and goes, oh, wow, that could be slippery, and proceeds to walk over the ice, slips, and breaks his arm. So, you know, you have it would have been a great video example of this. But since then, you know, it's amazing. I mean, you wonder, and this is such a small thing compared to so many of the things that we know are going on right now in people's lives. But when these things happen, you know, your first reaction is, in your mind, you're like, oh, this is going to be a test. I don't know how long I get to enjoy having this club on my arm, but it will be a test, right? And for the first few days, you're okay. But then as life starts to settle in and you're at work like this, trying to learn how to type and navigate having a broken arm, it starts to wear on you a little bit. And by the end of the week, you're texting, hypothetically again, simple man is texting his wife saying, pray for me, I'm finding this a little taxing, right? Having this broken arm and all the things that come with a broken arm. And yet in the midst of that this week, I can tell you there's been some passages that have been very alive. Very alive. And to me, I think that's the one of the things that we can't overlook. In the midst of the things that God's walking us through, is that so often God is trying to teach us something. And I can tell you, there was a morning I was driving to Vancouver and traffic was bad, and so I had extra time to just be meditating. I have to think almost every scripture about falling was coming into my mind. And I was just really meditating on these things. And it's so interesting, right? We could say, well, let him who thinks he stand take heed that he does not fall. Well, no, that wouldn't apply to me somehow or whatever. In your own pride, I don't know. I'm thinking like that. But all of these things, I'm like, Lord, show me what are areas in my life. Like, are there areas in my life where I would actually have that attitude? That somehow I would think that I don't need you. So I wanted to look at Proverbs chapter 3, because I can tell you this is such a familiar passage. We so often quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And yet this passage has just, I've read this almost every day this week. And it has been so real to me. So I just wanted to share a few verses out of here with you. There's a passage in 1 Peter, and it's often, there's a few, but 1 Peter chapter 5, where Peter quotes this passage. He says that he's giving an exhortation. Don't turn there. Stay in Proverbs 3. I'll just read you this. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders and all of yourselves. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. So the reality, like, pride is such an incredibly serious thing, because God, if we're proud, it's not that God's not going to help us. He's actually opposed to us. And yet, if we're humble, he says that he gives grace to the humble. And God, even this week, has been showing me areas in my life where he's wanting to deal with pride. And it's a scary thing to think that I could be in a place where, like, in areas where God's opposed to me, if I'm being proud in an area. And so something that I wanted, I was like, man, it's been wonderful to have God searching me, I feel like, this week, and just showing me areas where I can grow in humility. And so as we read Proverbs 3, I just want to read the first maybe 8 verses. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart, so you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. And as I've read this, every time that I read this week, I've been asking myself, how much do I value God's word? Like, we would say, yes, we value it. All of us would say that. But when you read the way that, like, do not let kindness and truth leave you, bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. I've been just challenged as I read that. I'm like, Lord, am I pursuing you and your word in that way, where I would literally writing it on the tablet? It paints such a picture, and just thinking, like, am I pursuing your word and a dependence on your word in that way, where I'm binding it around my neck and I'm writing it on the tablet of my heart? Because he says these so often quoted verses, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. When you look at verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. To me, I see in a lot of ways a definition of pride and a definition of humility. Humility is the first line, right? Where we would trust in the Lord with all of our heart, right? A dependence on the Lord. When you look at Philippians chapter 2, if you're looking for sort of what does spiritual humility look like? Jesus Christ is our example, greatest example we have of what humility looks like. And if you look at Philippians chapter 2, what you see there is, you see it says that he didn't regard equality with God as something that he would hold on to be grasped. I just see that picture of something that he was going to hold on. He emptied himself, it says, and became just like us. He came in the form of a human being, just like we are. And then it says that he humbled himself, becoming obedient even to the point of death on a cross. And that's the exact calling that he has for us, to humble ourselves and become obedient even to the point of death on a cross. Our cross will probably look, in the natural sense, Jesus actually culminated in coming to a natural cross. But he gives us the exhortation in the Gospels. He says that we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow him. And that's what he did. He was taking up his cross for all of his adult life. Even as a youth, as a child, he was taking up his cross every day. And that's the calling that we have. And I look at that as, that's a willingness to entrust ourselves to God, and not the opposite is then we lean on our own understanding. And I've just been thinking about it this week. I'm thinking, Lord, if I'm leaning on my own understanding, in a lot of ways, what I'm saying is, Lord, I know better than you do. And so I don't need you in this circumstance. I perhaps have this figured out. And you could take this different ways. I'm not saying this is the only thing, but that's what's been kind of really working in my heart is, are there areas in my life where I'm leaning on my own understanding, where I'm not just surrendering that and just trusting in the Lord? Am I acknowledging you in all my ways? And it is somewhat interesting. He then says right after, we often quote 5 and 6, and I was thinking, I wonder how many of us can quote 7, which follows right after. Do not be wise in your own eyes. What does that sound like? That sounds like pride. Being wise in our own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Again, a wise man sees evil and hides himself, right? And it's so interesting to me. What does that sound like? It sounds like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, right? Where fear the Lord and turn away from evil. There's a humbling oneself there to say, you know what, I see this and I'm not so strong that I couldn't stumble. Like I need to turn away from this. And what does it say then? You can understand why this has partly been alive to me. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. I have a bone that could use some refreshing right now. Right? But it's amazing how when I've just been reading this and it's been so alive to me just to think, like, Lord, thinking about what does humility look like? And I would encourage you to have a look at Philippians chapter 2. I won't read it all for you, but there's a few in there. He says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. And then it goes on to some of the verses that I'd already quoted, how Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. And he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And then it says that because of that, God highly exalted him. And that's what it does say. He says those who, when Jesus gave that parable about attending a wedding feast and how someone came in and they wanted to take the seat of honor, right? You have the two options, taking the seat of honor or taking the lowest seat. He says those who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those who humble themselves will be exalted, right? That's why coming back to that 1 Peter chapter 5, where he says that there too, he says, Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. What does it look like to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God? What does it look like to clothe yourself with humility, to have this mind of humility? How do we lay hold of humility? We don't have a lot of time left. So I'm putting those out as questions, but I'm going to give you a few thoughts to ponder on. But I encourage you to meditate on this, right? One of the ways that humility comes is in recognizing and acknowledging that we're a sinner. Like, just to see how far, it says in Romans, Paul says to them, he says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." For so many of my years, that really didn't apply to me until I came to be gripped by the fact of, like, wow, no, that like, just how far I've fallen short of the glory of God. And when we see that, and we see as we walk through our lives, we're willing to acknowledge, like, I'm falling short. There's a humility that comes with that, in the sense of recognizing, wow, I need Jesus, and just to see who we are apart from Jesus Christ. But there is this, then the second aspect is a willingness to humble ourselves, to deny ourselves, and to take up our cross. Like, that is an aspect, that's a critical aspect. That's where it says, humble yourselves. This isn't something, there is an element, I do believe, where the Spirit can work humility in us. I firmly do believe that. But I believe strongly there is an element of us being willing to humble ourselves. And that's the part where we would be willing to say, Lord, I'm not going to trust in my own understanding, but I'm going to lean on you and the wisdom of your word, and what I like, be willing to take up our cross. This is when there's this battling between surrendering and not, there is an element of that for sure, I believe, that is pride. A willingness to just say, Lord, it's not about, like, I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to surrender everything and let go of my reputation, let go of even just my own needing to be in control. I'm willing to let go of control and just let you lead in my life. And how that happens too, I was thinking of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, where Paul is exhorting them to present their bodies as a living sacrifice. And he says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Because the pattern of this world is pride. The pattern of this world is what? Just, you got this. You can do this. Believe in yourself. That's a secret to success. Believe in yourself. That's what the world would say. It says, don't be conformed to this world, because so much of that is ultimately rooted in pride. But he says, but be transformed by how? The renewing of your mind. This is where we need to be. This is comes back to the beginning of Proverbs 3, binding the word of God around our neck and writing it on the tablet of our heart. Like, Lord, what does your word say? Not does what does this world say? What do you say? How should I handle this situation? How do I proceed in this, Lord? I need your wisdom, Lord, because if I go this alone, I'm just going to stumble and fall, and the end result is not going to be good. I want humility, Lord. Because ultimately, that's why Jesus Christ could stand up and say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Like, what drew these people? We were reading with the kids last night in Mark chapter 2 when he called Matthew. He calls this tax collector. And then what happens? He invites them to dinner, and who's there? All these other sinners. We were reading it in the NLT, and it talks about, you know, it's, you've got the tax collectors who would have been hated by all, the prostitutes, all the sinners. The word it uses, the Pharisee shows up and says, what's he doing eating with these scum, is the word it uses. Why would these people come to Jesus, the most holy person that ever walked faces? Why? He just saw that there was such a humility there. It was everything the opposite of pride. And it was just something that would draw them. I long for that. I long for that. And God's been speaking in my heart clearly this week. I said to Whitney, I think it's a double. I says, it's a fact that there's, like, there's just a deeper working of pride, that of humility he wants to bring. There's probably specific areas now, and there's just a warning for the future of not to be proud, but to walk in the fear of the Lord, not to be wise in my own eyes, to see evil, not to see the patch of ice and somehow think your ski boots are somehow going to have traction on that. Like, I mean, it's just crazy. I can genuinely think, I literally not a thought. I remember seeing the ice going, that's bad, and just walking on. It's the perfect picture of what it can look like when we're not sober-minded and going, wait a minute, Lord, this is a bad situation. I need you. Give me the way of escape, as we heard, and be willing to just cry out to him, leaning on his wisdom, not our own. I just encourage you, hopefully just, I know we don't have a lot of time, we're already getting long, but just to encourage you, we've heard the warning this morning of unbelief. I just share another warning of just pride. And just allow God to search us. Lord, are there areas where I'm not believing? Lord, are there areas where I've got pride. And Lord, I want you to search that out. And so that can be changed, right? Walking in faith and humility. It's a place that I think each of us would say, yeah, I want to be in that place. So I encourage you with that this morning.